This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Brackish water aquifers are now a hot commodity. San Antonio is planning on pumping from the Wilcox Carrizo aquifer for a major desal project, but could all those fracking disposal wells, something go wrong with them, and then they could contaminate the Wilcox or other aquifers? Is enough being done to protect those new aquifers? This is an issue that's going before the Texas Railroad Commission tomorrow. That's the agency that regulates the oil industry in Texas, and they're considering whether or not a groundwater district has the standing to protect the permitting of wastewater disposal wells. And we're joined by J.D. Head. He's an environmental lawyer who has represented conservation districts in the past. And Greg Singelman, he's general manager of the Gonzales County Underground Water Conservation District. Welcome to The Source, both of y'all.
Thank you.
Let me ask you, Greg Singelman over at the Gonzales County Underground Water Conservation District, the question is whether or not you have the authority to say anything about these wastewater disposal wells. Why do you think that you have that authority?
I think we have the authority because we were enabled to preserve, and protect the waters of our district, and so I think we have the ability through that enabling legislation to protect our aquifers and protest these disposal wells.
Now, does that put you in conflict with the Railroad Commission?
No. The permits are not before the Groundwater District. The permit applications are before the Railroad Commission. But we should have a right to have a say in a hearing to discuss our issues over these injection wells.
So a Marathon Oil Company, they're the disposal well operator, I guess, that you have a problem with. Is that right?
Right.
And mm-hmm. So they're saying that you...
We protested.
Go ahead.
I said we protested Marathon's disposal well permit application because it did not appear that the proposed well construction and surface facilities were protective of our aquifers. And we attempted to discuss these issues with Marathon, but they declined to negotiate with us. So basically our only option was to protest the permit application and go through the hearing process.
So you just want to show that you have standing and that you should be part of the conversation. Is that right?
Right.
So, J.D. Head, you're an environmental lawyer over, and you've represented conservation districts in the past. Tell me, how do you see things weighing here?
Well, I think the Marathon's arguments are without merit. One of the three railroad commissioners agreed to put this on their agenda for tomorrow after the hearing examiner twice ruled that the Gonzales District did have standing. It's my belief that under the rules, the Railroad Commission rules, that standing is accorded to a local government that's in the jurisdiction of this area, and the district is clearly a local government. Thus, they should be accorded standing.
So, but we're going to the Railroad Commission, which is supposed to be regulating the oil and gas industry in Texas, and they run for office. We have the election happening right now to see who's going to be on the Railroad Commission. Those candidates get a lot of money from contributions, political contributions from oil and gas companies. And so it seems like there is the big question of a regulatory capture. Who's regulating who? Is the Railroad Commission regulating the oil industry, or the oil industry regulating the Railroad Commission? So, Greg Singelman, do you have a concern that you're going to get a fair hearing with the Railroad Commission?
I've only been to two hearings so far, actually protesting disposal wells, and in both instances, yes, I think I got a fair hearing before the hearing examiners. I think they do a good job of, they have done a good job of allowing landowners and groundwater districts and come to present their case before the hearing examiners. So so far, they've done a good job, I think.
And so, J.D. Head, since you're a lawyer, if this doesn't work out, say if the Railroad Commission finds that the groundwater conservation districts don't have underground water conservation districts don't have a standing, would this go higher up in the courts? Would you have to sue or what?
Yes, it certainly could. I think the Gonzales District clearly has a legal right to appeal the decision of the Railroad Commission to the district courts, and would probably be in Travis County here. I also think that there's a real likelihood that any other groundwater district, if Gonzales decided not to appeal this for whatever reason, financial or policy, I think any other groundwater district may well have, once again I'll use the term standing, to bring a lawsuit against the decision of the Railroad Commission if that decision were that groundwater districts do not have jurisdiction, do not have standing to engage in these hearings.
Right, because this isn't just about this one underground water conservation district. This is happening all over the state, right, Greg?
Yes, there's two basic issues. One is whether Gonzales County has standing to protest the Marathon Deposed Well permit because it's located outside our groundwater district, and the other is whether any groundwater district has standing. So there's two issues before the commissioners tomorrow.
So this aquifer, the Wilcox Carrizo Aquifer, it used not to be considered much because they would just write it off that it was brackish water, but now brackish water is something that we realize is an important resource. Greg?
That's true. We've got San Antonio Water System has already done a study in Gonzales and Wilson County on our brackish water resources for the Wilcox Aquifer, and the Texas Water Development Board is currently in the process of conducting a brackish water survey in our groundwater district area also. So there's a lot of interest in this water.
If I could chime in on that, in the Texas has regional planning groups. I think multiple, maybe 16 regional planning groups. And in the South Texas area, the regional planning group is already looking towards as recommended water strategies for large desalinization projects. And I'm not talking about seawater desalinization. I'm talking about groundwater desalinization. So one of the concerns of my client, which is Winter Garden Groundwater District, which is also in the Eagle Ford, is that you may have an aquifer that has, 5,000 to 10,000 total total dissolved solids, which is not deemed usable water by the Railroad Commission.
Sure.
But you could desal that. But if you have a situation where you've got the injection of oil and gas waste with very high chlorides.
Okay, I got to take a quick break, and we're going to come right back to that thought. Stay tuned. This is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We've seen it again, the collision between the need for water and water resources and what's happening with fracking in South Texas and Eagle Ford Shale all across the state of Texas, as a matter of fact. We're seeing it again tomorrow at the Railroad Commission. Texas is betting big that our next water source is going to be a desal of these brackish water aquifers, but could they get spoiled before we get the chance to pump that water out and start using it? If you got a question or a comment, if you've got a concern about a water being used during fracking, the number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And we're speaking this half hour with J.D. Head, environmental lawyer. He's represented conservation districts in the past, and Greg Singleman, general manager of the Gonzales County Underground Water Conservation District. So, J.D., you were saying before about the Winter Garden area.
Well, one of the concerns we have, the Winter Garden area is Zavala, Dimmitt, and LaSalle counties, and they're pretty much totally dependent upon groundwater. And Dimmitt County has just a plethora of injection well, disposal well application. We get notices of 10 to 15 a month, easy. And the concern we have is if you have a formation that may not be usable water today, just to take it out and drink it as is, if you dispose of very high chlorides from this oil and gas waste, you're going to make it so you could not even use it in the future for desalinization at any sort of cost that would be acceptable.
Right, but the Railroad Commission would review those requests, those permits, and why isn't their vetting good enough?
Well, the Railroad Commission, basically, their benchmark is usable, that we don't want to impact usable water from these projects, and their definition of usable water is anything between 0 and 3,000 dissolved solids. So if you're over 3,000 total dissolved solids, they're not concerned about that water.
So they don't have the same interest as you do, Mr. Singelman, over at the Gonzales County. Right?
Right. They protect, we feel that they protect the groundwater to 3,000 total dissolved solids pretty well. But the water from 3 to 10,000, which is what most of these brackish water projects are probably going to go through first, that we don't feel is protected as well. The Railroad Commission has a standard that you have to inject below 10,000 parts per million TDS water.
Right. So, but you're not opposed.
Not only they protect it.
So you're not opposed to these disposal wells. You just want to make sure that they're done properly, Greg.
Safely, right? Exactly. We know that they're needed, and Gonzales County benefits a lot from these oil and gas industry, and tax wise and everything else. So we like this industry. We just want to make sure that all of this is done safely.
Well, what
so
needs
that's
to be
all
done?
We're looking to do.
What needs to be done to make it safe? Where are the weaknesses?
I think they could beef up some of the well construction details, especially the cementing of the injection wells, and also the surface facilities. I think the secondary containment structures should be have impermeable linings in them. I think there's several things that can be done. I think there should be better geological barriers between the injection zone and the 10,000 parts per million water. And I don't think most of these things that we're asking cost all that much either. I think a disposal well probably is 1.5 to 3 million for the disposal well and facilities from what I've heard. And the things that we're asking would be a minor cost in the scheme of things. So I don't think we're asking for too much with, at least in our district, we're not.
So that a disposal well typically has three layers of casing to ensure groundwater protection. The first protective layer is the surface casing. It's a steel pipe that's encased in cement, and then it it reaches from the ground to the surface to below to the deepest usable quality groundwater level. And so are you concerned that that piping and that casing isn't going deep enough, or they're not concerned about your aquifer, and so it would not be there at that portion?
No, I think the surface casing is fine. They put that into the base of the 3,000 TDS total dissolved solid water, and then they cement that up to the surface. It's the next casing, the long string casing that goes all the way down to the injection zone. They require up to 600 feet of cement from the injection zone up, but they don't require it to be cemented all the way to the surface. And they also don't require any mechanical integrity testing of that cementing job. You could run a cement bond log to ensure that cement actually got up to that 600-foot level, and also that it was actually bonded to the casing and to the borehole. But that mechanical integrity test is not really required, unless you decide to put less cement in than the 600-foot interval that they require.
So Marathon Oil says
that's one of the issues that we want.
Sure. Marathon Oil says that having to do that extra step would be cost prohibitive to them. And you don't buy that, JD.
I can't speak to the cost. I think Greg may have a better handle on that. I'm not involved with the Marathon thing directly, so I'd hesitate to comment on that.
Let's say, Greg, so what do you think? Is Marathon, they're just are this trying not to play ball, or are they sincere here?
Well, it's not required by Railroad Commission rule, so I guess they could say that they're following the basic rules. They're not applying for their permit before us. They're applying for before the Railroad Commission.
Right, but you want tougher regulations, tougher standards.
Right. On that, yes, I'd like a cement bond law to be run on the cementing job to ensure that it's done properly.
Okay, let's get a caller in on this. Our lines are open. The number is 210-614-8980, 614-8980. If you've got a question or comment about the unknown chemicals and fracking and how it could be getting into groundwater, let's get Kevin on the air. Kevin, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Kevin.
Hey, how's it going?
Going great. You're on the air.
Okay. I just wanted to know if they would disclose a list of the things that they're putting into the earth, and that's it. I'll take my
sure
off the air.
Okay, so if these do these wastewater disposal wells, if they do leak, do we know what sort of substances would be getting into the groundwater, Greg?
I think we know a little bit about it. I think there's that frack focus that's out there. There's a website you can look at, and they disclose some of the chemicals that they use for fracking. And a lot of that water that and chemicals that they use for fracking comes back as flowback water, and that's what they inject down these disposal wells. So I think we know a little bit about what's in the water. But in my mind, it doesn't matter if it's just the high chloride, high brine water. If that gets into our drinking water supplies, you still can't drink it. So it doesn't matter whether it's a toxic chemical or just high TDS salt water, you still wouldn't be able to drink it.
So the oil-filled brine is, like sometimes when you pump up the oil in a gas, you are going to get some water with it, and that's what that is. It's also called produced water. And that's
right.
And that's not an issue, but using the fracking fluids, the fracking mud, or some other substances that go with it, treatment fluids, that's what you're concerned about.
No, the brine is an issue too, because like I said,
okay,
that brine is very salty, and so if that gets into our fresh drinking water, well,
right,
it pollutes it, and you can't drink that either without desalinating. So that's a concern also.
So, J.D. Head, you're an environmental lawyer. You're looking at this case. When you have Marathon Oil, they're a big oil company. Do they have the potential to just overwhelm a groundwater conservation district with all of their legal expertise and all of their lawyers?
Well, it's not just Marathon. I mean, Marathon is the primary party to this case, but – a multitude of oil and gas interests have weighed in on this. Numerous trade association groups have all weighed in, and of course they've all weighed in on Marathon's side. If you're asking me whether Marathon has the financial wherewithal to wear down a groundwater district, that's certainly a possibility. Groundwater districts' budgets are typically can be underfunded. I won't speak to Gonzalez particularly, but I would say that although Gonzalez has a very good lawyer, the oil industry can unleash a cadre of tens, 20, 30s lawyers, and it's not going to impact their bottom line at all. So that's a concern. You get in litigation, they start throwing so much paper at you that at the end of the day, you give up.
We've heard over and over again that many of these fracking companies, these big oil companies, that they want to be good corporate citizens and that they have to be here for the long haul also, and that they want to work with our local agencies and they don't want to pollute. But here we have a Marathon Oil Company They don't want to take the extra step to ensure the safety of their of these aquifers. So that kind of seems like that cross purposes, Greg Singleman over at the Gonzales County Underground Water Conservation District. What do you think? Yeah. Do you think that Marathon could be a better corporate citizen if they decided just to do this?
Well, it's sort of funny because before this application came in, we had been getting along real well with Marathon, at least on the water side. We requested that they provide us with their frack water usage and the registering all their frack water and rig supply wells, and they did that without a problem. And they, in fact, they even did it for wells that were located in Gonzales County but were outside our district boundaries. And so before the permit application, they worked with us real well and have been nothing but congenial. But the permit application, for some reason, for the disposal well, they didn't want to negotiate with us at all.
So, J.D. Head, as y'all go to the Railroad Commission tomorrow to try to settle this issue, is this something that's going to be settled quickly, or will this drag on and on, and if the Marathon doesn't get their way, that they'll take this to the courts also?
I can't speak for what Marathon is actually going to do. I would, based on the volume of these amicus briefs that have been filed by the oil interest, it would not surprise me whatsoever if the Railroad Commission ruled against Marathon that they would take it to the courts. I think, quite frankly, that if it goes the other way, I think you're going to see litigation the other way as well. So I don't think tomorrow is the end of this.
Out of time. Thank you both. J.D. Head, environmental lawyer, has been handling this for conservation districts, and Greg Singleman, general manager, Gonzales County Underground Water Conservation District. This is The Source on KSTX.